Hey, welcome to Car Guy Confessions, brought to you by ARP. I'm Jeff Smith. This is my car buddy Cam Banty and car builder Steve Strope, and we're going to tell you the stories. We're still going to do the tech stuff at Jeff Smith's Garage, but this is kind of a combination. This is kind of like Rocky and Bullwinkle and Friends. This is Jeff Smith and his buddies here.
That's right.
So
Bullwinkle.
Bullwinkle and Rocky. So I guess alphabetically,
yeah.
We'll start with you, Cam Banty.
Yes.
Cam and I go way back.
Do you remember where we met?
Because they're old.
I don't remember where we met.
I remember exactly where
you?
We met.
Do
we
you?
Met.
Really?
Remember John Asher took us to the street races down in downtown L.A.? Remember you were doing a story? I did a story
for
Auto
Week
on it.
That's right.
That's when I met you. You were the new guy at CarCraft, the job that I had missed out on.
That I beat him out on.
I was a dragster. Rick Voglin waited 6 months to pick somebody. At 4 months, I was out. Little did I know. But anyway, so I met you at the
They had
the
cars then?
Races.
Yeah,
yes,
they did. 1979.
That's right.
So we were up for the job at CarCraft when Al Kirschbaum went to Hot Rod.
Yes.
And our careers have intertwined
yes.
ever since. So that's been what?
40, 41, that would have been 79.
42
years. 79. 42
years.
So yikes.
I don't. I,
on my right, on your
I was
left.
Just reading stuff at that point.
He was in diapers when we were doing that. Steve Strope.
I'm so not a part of this conversation.
Met Steve at what year was that?
Ooh, I'll tell you when you met me. You met me in at the Hot Rod Magazine Supernationals in Canfield, Ohio, in 86.
86, okay.
I annoyed you in your golf cart then because I was asking, why? Do you remember what we talked about? Because I do.
No, of course not.
Oh, I know. I know because I was just another annoying subscriber at that point. I was like, why do the people paying for a subscription don't get the poster,
the poster
that all the newsstands
so
are
we have
seeing?
To explain
I
this.
Value
we have to
for
explain
my
this.
Buck.
So I created this three-page fold-out poster, which is a whole other story we could talk about on the battles that went into
Randy?
Just everybody.
Management she's the photographer?
It was management to try and get them convinced to do it.
No, I mean, who shot it?
Who shot the cover? The original one?
Poster is it?
The first one we did was the Limefire car.
Oh, yeah. That was a great one.
And that was just a regular shot that I had my art director lay out. Would this fit in 3 pages? Because the height dictated the width. And it was just
you
big
can
enough.
Expect more of this, folks.
Yes.
This is how the
so,
shit's going to go.
Anyway, we don't want to get spun off on that whole thing, but it was a lot. Limefire was a great car.
Peter Porus is important.
But the whole point was it was supposed to do a centerfold for the magazine. Well, we did it, but I could not convince management to allow us to run it full run of press, which means everybody got the.
Because
the
back then, the numbers were
huge.
Massive.
Oh, well, Hot Rod Magazine.
Million?
A few years later, went to a million paid circulation.
Was
so
in
they
the
looked,
80s,
took one look at the production costs and went, we're not doing that.
Right.
So they just gave it to the...
So screw the people that already subscribed.
That's correct.
Screw the subscribers
right.
and
yeah.
just put the
yeah.
posters in. So I have a collection of posters that I kept
where
I got the press to send in so that when someone
so
like
you're
you
in luck.
Would complain, I would put it in an envelope
someone
and
like
ship
you.
It to
yes.
you. But
that was good.
Oh, my God. And that was back when I had a secretary. Now, you know, the editor has to do it himself because there's nobody working there.
But that's how I met.
Yeah. So, anyway, there you
so
go.
Through
in
a complaint, it was a complaint that brought you two together.
You know what?
And
people
it never
out there
stopped.
That know me are like not surprised.
It's never stopped.
So I was attracted to Steve's car because of the way he was building cars.
And that you met me in 90.
The coin?
No. It was when the show moved up. It left Canfield and went
circus.
Up to. No.
No.
It was in Ohio still. And it was when everybody came over. Will had brought that 32 or the Model A, the rusty
Model
A
he
built.
The budget beater.
Yep, he brought that, and it was another. It was
Power
another.
Truck?
No,
oh.
It was at the Super Nat, and you only had it 1 or 2 years at this other location in Ohio.
Oh boy, that's a blur.
and I was so that was like a beyond magic weekend. What I was doing, because it makes sense. Is I'm on my way to move to California permanently. So I packed up my El Camino, and at that time...
You were in New York at that time.
I had come out to Cali, found a job, decided I was going to stay.
Right.
Flew home to get the El Camino.
Right.
Timed it so I could, on the way to California, stop at the Super Nats.
At the Super Nats, okay.
Now, my El Camino, I'd went from a big 6 to 71 blown small block to an underhood deal with a cowl hood. And
understated.
So, sitting on the passenger floor was my blower, and all the
is that what you call
accoutrements?
It?
Yes, and everything else, is that what you call it now? Yes, kids. Mwah, good night. Isn't that nice?
Ow.
So, you came up to me. Actually, you took a photograph. You had squat down and took a photograph, and I like ripped my friend. I go, take a picture. It's Jeff Smith taking a picture of my car. Like, lose my shit about it. Yeah. And later that afternoon, you and Rob Canan came up to me and said, hey, would you like to stay after later? We'd like to feature your car in Hot Rod. And after I got some fibrillators
you
and
soiled yourself.
got my heart working again, I went, I have to go back to the, because you're going to take an interior shot, right? Right. Well, if you've looked,
so 15 minutes unload my
I have to go. I went back to the hotel room, unloaded my supercharger and the two cylinder heads and everything out of the thing, and came back and we did the shot. And then the weekend, I mean, it was just incredible. There was Boyd had those really cool billet trophies.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I took second place best street machine and second place best truck because of El Camino. Yeah. And, you know, I built it in my dad's barn and my aunt's garage, you know. So for all of that, that
look
was
where it ended up.
It was just so crazy.
You're like Carrie Underwood.
Yeah, I'm just like Carrie, and you are. I'm gonna say Larry.
So anyway, so then 4 years later, it ran a Hot Rod, right?
No, no, jackass.
Did it ever appear? Did the feature ever appear?
Yes, it was in October of 95.
Okay.
You shot it.
Because a lot of times we shot cars and they never.
No, that was my.
The kiss of death. You run into that guy 5 years later and he wants to murder you because
you
haven't. You
shot his car, but it never ran. So tucked away, right?
This is how that all worked for me.
Yeah.
You put me in the October 95 issue. You met me in the spring, right? Or not even then. It was like, when was that show? Like June or so?
We'll have to dig the issue out.
Right.
Sure.
Well, I have you. Trust me. I have the issue. You put me in that.
In your bedroom?
You put me in that. And then I went on a couple of years later to want to get on this thing called the Power Tour. Yeah. So when I got to California, Custom Classic Truck, Carpenter, Bob Carpenter. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I met him randomly at a show and he was like looking at my El Camino and I didn't say it was mine. Mm-hmm. He goes, this is really nice. Da, 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 da. And I go, oh, it's mine.
Yeah.
And so he featured it. And then Jerry Slattery did a thing on it in Custom Rodder. So I had three magazines feature it.
Oh, wow.
And so I took that. I wound up moving from Oceanside up to Sherman Oaks. And on the corner of Ventura Boulevard and Laurel Canyon, there is still there. It was a Kinko's. Now it's a FedEx office. Yeah. And that was my office.
That was your office.
I was there photocopying the magazine features.
Uh-huh.
I had a friend of mine do a drawing of this fastback charger I wanted to build. Mm-hmm. And because that's what the pros did. They had artwork first, right?
Yeah, right.
And then
almost like a leave behind for an advertising agency.
Kind of. I reached out to companies that I knew I could afford the parts if I had to buy them. Mm-hmm. And they were companies that I liked the parts. Number one, visual. I had to like them.
Yeah.
But they were also involved with Power Tour.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm giving this away now. So send your hate mail later. Then I reached out at the time to Canan and Jeff Koch.
Mm-hmm.
And I said to them, hey, I'm going to build this cool charger, low budget, and bring it on the Power Tour. And I'm going to use these parts, mm-hmm. year one and so-and-so and so-and-so. And they're a sponsor of your thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Maybe you could run the artwork.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Then I went over to year one and everyone and sent them the photocopies of the features and said, hey, I've already proven myself as a feature quality builder. Would you like to sponsor my car? Because Hot Rod's going to run the artwork.
Right.
Yeah, there you go.
This is like the Tucker thing where he only built three cars and he ran around in a circle and made you think that he built 50 of them, you know?
So, and Shelby built
them. You're a lot bigger.
Oh, yeah.
Cars, like four different
he
times.
He had one
right?
car.
Yeah,
one
and repainted car. It a couple of times.
Yeah. Right. Every magazine got a different color car, but it was the exact same car.
So Rob or Koch ran the artwork. I showed up on the kickoff for the Power Tour and make the long story short, Hot Rod featured it. It became top 10 car of the year.
Really?
And Daytona Magazine in Japan featured it from that show. And Mopar Muscle gave me my first cover.
Uh-huh.
Nice. So, and that is what
that's how it all
launched
started.
Pure Vision was your feature.
So it was the,
allowed
it was the
me
risk.
To completely BS my way into a multi-sponsorship and another feature that elevated it, and it took off from there. So that,
but extremely, extremely justifiable, though. Yeah. I mean, the stuff that you built.
I did put in the effort.
Still.
And the second car we're talking about, I built in my underground parking garage.
I remember
my apartment.
That was amazing.
So
we did. We did another.
I earned that shit.
Yeah. Exactly.
There was nobody handed anything over to me. I'm down there with this two bulb lamp I found in the trash.
Yeah, right,
rewired
right.
it so I had a work light.
And so, did you use one of those things where you put the little adapter in there so you could run a power cord off with the light bulb?
There was
so
only
you could run
one outlet on the side of the building at this apartment thing. So I ran. I bought like three extension cords. Ran it around inside. I'd carry my little three, and I still have, I'll bring it, we'll put it on the table, the three-drawer Craftsman toolbox that I got for Christmas when I was like 15.
Yeah.
That's what I built the car with. And like, so example, converting it to disc brakes. Went to the to pick your part on Hash Price for weekend.
Right, right.
Cheap weekend.
And get the,
and I got the disc brake and the upper arm and everything off of a four-door Dart.
Mm-hmm.
And I took it back, and with said power cord, took a drill. Listen to this, kids. Took a drill. And a wire wheel
and
cleaned every one of those stupid parts off by hand with a drill bit.
Right.
Nice.
And then, because I'm courteous, bought, you know, those for $1.50, those 10 by 15 pieces of plastic for putting down on a floor
didn't
when you paint a
charge for overspray?
I covered it. I bought a cover and or that
covered
piece
the other
of plastic,
cars?
Every car in my parking garage.
So they wouldn't get overspray.
And then took coat hangers, hung the parts up on the water pipes, and epoxy spray painted them.
Mm-hmm.
That's how you build a top 10 car of the year when you want to bad enough.
Yeah.
Or you're just too
stupid like the stories,
to know you should.
It's like the stories of kids
that
work on their cars out in the snow because
you
they don't
bet.
Have a garage.
Oh,
I mean,
yeah.
If you're motivated enough,
you bet.
Heck,
you get to be our age, you're not going to do that anymore.
You
but when you're 18 years old.
Bad enough. It's that simple.
Yeah.
You know,
so there's motivation that came through.
Oh, there's a lot of motivation.
An amazing thing.
Sure.
I just wanted to be in the damn magazine.
That's right. Has that ever happened again for you?
Yes.
Just a couple of times.
Two or three times.
We've done pretty good, and I've been
fortunate. So the sad part is now that a lot of the print magazines are gone. So you know, it's like somebody asked me the other day, says, who's excited about having their car on some kind of website?
Where it used to be
that you had Hot Rod Magazine, and especially if you had like a centerfold.
Yeah,
that was a huge deal.
Now it's not there. The website doesn't translate.
No, it doesn't. Nothing special about it.
No.
When you were in Hot Rod or Car Craft or any of them, there's 12 issues a year.
Yes.
It's usually three features.
Yeah.
So you're one of 36 cars ever allowed in that.
Right.
Year. Yeah.
It's huge.
Right.
And if you happen to be the car on the cover too, you know, that's even worse. Because now look at no matter what website you have, there's no cover.
No,
so it's and there's not to make the websites bad. It's just that the whole impact is different now.
There's no connection, and just like YouTube, do you guys remember? I think it was Disney. I'm pretty sure there's a cartoon animated movie called The Incredibles.
Sure,
so like a superhero family.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, sure.
Okay, there's the kid that grew up to be the bad guy,
right?
And his whole shtick was, "You blew me off.
Right.
Now I'm upset about it.
Right.
And I'm making all this technology." Mm-hmm. That after I sell it to the highest bidder so they can have their wars, I'm going to let everybody have it because, and this quote stuck with me, because when everybody's special,
nobody's special. Right.
And it's just I can have YouTube fame. I can have a video.
Yeah. Right.
Well, I'm sorry, but you know what? You're not the same as a big
TV show
from 10,000.
Who cares?
That's the biggest thing. Like, you know, when you and I were doing the magazines, I mean, we still write for the magazines.
Yeah.
We still, what's left of them, I mean, starting January of last year, just pretty much went poof.
Yeah.
All of a sudden we got
nothing.
And there's plenty of books. And there's books coming out.
Yes.
There are.
You know, my opinion deals stuff like that. Yes.
The company that will not be mentioned, I think they did their own self-fulfilling prophecy to get rid of what they didn't want to deal with anymore.
They didn't want to
because there's
the
other
beginning.
Books starting up doing just fine and dandy.
They never wanted it. They never wanted it. They wanted a Motor Trend and that's it. That's a whole thing.
I know they didn't. So they just said, oh, they're all leaving.
So we'd like to thank our sponsor, ARP. I build lots of engines as part of the stuff that I do, and I use them exclusively because they're fantastic. I don't use stock bolts because it's just so dangerous. So especially engine stuff, is really, really good. Steve, you use them for building cars, right?
Yeah, I need them. They're an insurance policy for its internals on an engine. I know it's long-lasting and durable and done. They're properly engineered. And also, it makes everything we do look even better. It's jewelry for your car.
Right.
I was going to say the same thing. The stuff looks so beautiful coming out of the package. I mean, it's all oiled and it's ready to go. I mean, sometimes you just like want one on your desk that you can like look at and play with, that kind of thing. But I've used them all the time, and I use them in a lot of racing stuff.
So check them out at arp-bolts.com or check out their catalog. You'll find everything you're looking for.
There we go.
So we had a topic that we were going to talk about, and we'll just toss this thing out there. Electric cars. I did a story for Hot Rod about a year and a half or so ago on electric performance cars. The story was built around the Camaro that a gentleman built for Chevrolet Performance that was at the SEMA show.
Sure.
And it was really designed. That car was like a 960 car, I think, something like that, which is fairly quick, but not as quick as you would think an electric car would be. But it was actually designed to be built as if NHRA were to, which is a whole nother topic, were to create an electric car stock eliminator class, this is what it would be. And so they never really did a very good job of explaining that. So because Chrysler came out with an electric car, immediately was quicker, and it was everybody was like, well, we can build 8-second cars. Why is this so lame? But it was done for a reason. But I built that story around that, and then brought in hypercars and some of the other examples. There's drift cars. There's the Volkswagen prototype that set the ultimate record at Pikes Peak.
Yep.
Just a phenomenal car. And the most interesting part of the video, other than the fact that the driver said that he had completely relearned how to drive the car because it has so much power, you lose a little bit of power going up the hill because your batteries are draining, but you're not in an internal combustion engine. You're losing power because the air gets getting thinner and thinner and thinner, and you got to have compound turbochargers in order to make it work at the peak. But the car was still radically fast and beat the record by a ridiculous. I forget how much, but it was
it
a bunch.
It.
Now that's an ultimate. I mean, Lord knows how much money Volkswagen spent to build that car.
$30.
Yeah, or maybe 40. But the point is like it is being done, and that's of interesting note because then conversely, you'll do like a drag strip car, and the guy that built the car for Chevrolet is
talking about the Camaro at the SEMA show. There was that one too from 2 years ago.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
That's the one you're talking about. Okay, all right, very good.
And then, but
Cam's just joining us.
He's actually a high school shop teacher,
right,
up in the Pacific Northwest, and he and his class built a door slammer. They bought a Jerry Bickle car, put an electric motor in it, and they own the door slammer record for the Electric Drag Racing Association. And that's like an 860 car, like 160 miles an hour. And these high school kids built this car.
Awesome.
And it was a great conversation with the guy. So there's a lot of enthusiasm there, a lot of interest. But at the same time, because for a while I was kind of thinking about maybe we should build like an electric S10 or something, as a drag strip style car.
Right.
Just for the fun of it. How tough can it be? And at that time, little I knew, it's like, we'll stack a bunch of 12-volt Optima batteries in the bed, put an electric motor on there, put a throttle on it, and bam, we got an electric car. It's like, no, not even close. Yeah. I was so ignorant about the whole thing. I thought these were DC motors. They're not. They're AC motors.
Yes.
The hot ones are. You can put a DC motor if you want
you
to
could.
Make it really
yes,
simple.
You could. Yeah.
But if you really want to do it right, then I saw where some shop here in Chatsworth now has, if you've seen this, has it's a module, which is an electric motor packaged to look like a small block Chevy.
Yeah.
So it has a bell housing pattern so that you could bolt it to Turbo 400, Turbo 350, 200 4R, 4L60E.
Really?
Yeah, there's a couple of companies actually.
Yeah.
There's
but
one
they have a module that actually will bolt in what looks like at least has the pattern for a small block Chevy that will you bolt up to a transmission. And then you're halfway there.
Yeah.
Now it's expensive. It's a lot more expensive than it really needs to be.
It's about 10.5. That's what the couple of kits that I've seen, $10,500 that you can actually, it does have.
And it's a run of 400 horsepower motors?
It's a 400 to 500. There's two versions, and you can actually bolt it up to one of the bell housings. And so you can run your drivetrain, and it's an immediate, and the batteries are another 10.
Yes.
So it's not a cheap
place
deal.
Put them.
In fact, I actually talked to a guy who was doing
so
that.
So the batteries are another 10K
over
the module. 10K over
on top of the module.
So you're at 22,000?
Yeah,
21.
For how much power?
400 to 500.
Yeah.
But that's hard.
A lot of it's hard to sell,
except for the Nito factor.
But it is. It is. Except for the uniqueness factor. When you show up at a car show with a, say an S10.
How about a Corvair? Because I actually have a guy who was funny because we were talking with this guy.
Especially
a friend of mine
like
has
a 66 or 69.
It was a 66. He's got a 66 Corvair.
Corsa?
It was a Corsa. And the deal was the guy was talking about, you know, he wanted to do this electric conversion. I thought, mm-hmm. well, we'll throw him the money. This is a friend of mine out in Palm Springs who's got a shop. And so we were talking about it. And I said, well, I'm going to throw him the numbers and see if he is a player still. And he goes, I said, it'd probably be 30. And the guy goes, I'm in. So there are those folks that are interested in making a conversion,
sure.
something different for an electric vehicle.
Especially
now, this is a guy who's retired.
Cool.
It's a cool, cool car. You know, it's a yeah. cool car. They do it for VW bikes,
That's unsafe at any yeah. speed.
Well,
thank you, Mr.
By
Nader.
The time they got to 69, the suspension was actually pretty good.
Yeah.
The early ones were,
not so
the swing
good.
Axles were hideous.
Yeah, not
they were
so
awful.
Mm-hmm.
But by
and
66
ugly.
To 69,
ugly. Yes.
They were
66
neat
to 69.
The ones that Yanko
you
did,
ran
right?
the
yeah,
dash
Stinger.
From
yeah.
a 69 Corsa in that Nova,
Rogan's
which
car.
I
yeah.
thought, you know, you told me about
dash.
It, and I thought, how's that going to look,
no,
right? You
perfect.
Know, I showed up at your presentation. That's the first thing I did was open the door and went, it looks like it belongs there.
Yes, yeah.
You know,
that's
and
my
it was
job.
Like, and
yeah,
it was like,
it
and I walked in. That was the part from that car that I walked away from. It was like, I like that. That's really yeah. cool. You know, yeah. so.
But that's,
so
I think there's a
and,
part
and
of
it's
this.
Just a matter of yeah. blending. So to get back to electric cars, yeah. it's like the problem with electric cars is they have no soul. Right.
Yeah,
this is a friend of
yeah.
mine said there's no visceral impact to it. There's
yeah.
no noise. There's no like you know, the example we were talking about earlier was Top Fuel car.
Yeah.
So you take somebody. I did this once when I was single for a while. I took this woman to the drag races. Thought that would be fun, which was a disaster. But you know, Top Fuel went down the track and it
did
it
what
made
it does.
An impression upon her.
Oh,
was,
absolutely.
She was like, "Get me out of here."
Yeah. She's but, deaf today.
But
so
yeah. But. For someone who's never seen it before, if you've never been to an NHRA drag race, and they're not paying us to say this, you should go. Because,
yeah.
especially with Top Fuel cars, I'm not a fuel guy. Personally, I'm a carburetors and gasoline, which isn't even pro stock anymore because now it's fuel injected.
Like slow shit.
But,
yeah.
yeah.
But it, from a visceral concept, you can't, it cannot
sportsman
be
guy.
Topped. I remember the first time I was at an NHRA drag race, you know, watching Top Fuel cars, I was astonished. And then, when John Asher
yeah.
took me to the winter to the U.S. Nationals, 25th anniversary of 1979, 25th anniversary of U.S. Nationals.
Sure,
and,
sure.
You know, because I'm the wet behind the ears new staffer, stuck me on the starting line with a telephoto lens, and I decided I would get a tight shot
yeah,
of the Top Fuel car doing a burnout.
Sure.
There was that little triangle
right.
area there where you put the flowers.
The one where you get all the pieces of black tar.
Black tar
yeah,
all
yeah,
over
yeah,
you,
yeah,
all over
yeah,
my lens and stuff.
Ruins,
yeah.
yeah, right. That's good.
And so
that's
I'm
good.
Leaning up against the wall, and as the car comes by for the this is the burnout. These
yeah,
not
yeah,
even
yeah,
launched.
Yeah,
these
yeah,
are
yeah,
doing
no,
the burnout.
It.
And the
yeah.
car went by me, and I thought it hit the wall. It was so loud and
yeah.
so impact because I'm 5 feet from the car,
right?
And 5 feet from the header tubes that are right about ear level have no air protection,
right?
And it almost
you
knocked
didn't have
me
air
over.
Protection?
Not
you
back then.
Oh my
no.
god!
Yeah. Which is why I now
for,
my ears right. ring constantly.
This is actually an infomercial. What not to do? Kids.
What not to do?
That's right.
Don't
tinnitus.
So, I'm your man,
Captain Tinnitus.
Yeah,
there
Captain Tinnitus.
Good job.
So anyway, and then I recovered from this whole thing and. Thought, why aren't the safety people running over
yeah,
this car
right.
hit the wall? And I looked
right.
around.
I wasn't driving.
That.
That's right.
Uh-oh. I got to do something about this. And I talked to
yeah.
him later. I said, can we go somewhere and buy some headphones? And he was like, what's the matter, weenie?
Yeah.
And I was like,
Asher used to be up on his ladder all the time.
Oh, yeah. He
was always in the ladder. Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. yeah.
But, that, yeah. that kind
so
of
his hair's white.
It kind of
there
puts it in perspective for you. So to get back to electric cars,
that's the deal.
You don't have that. It doesn't exist.
I've had... as you two have probably had also discussions with people about it who are pro and con. And of course they always want to lean to, but look at the amazing performance that especially like you can just grab a Tesla and then plug in the ludicrous speed
and it's
program.
Yes.
And it's insane.
Yeah,
and
I'll go,
but the problem is the outcome of performance is only a small percentage and portion of why all the people who like motorsports of any ilk, why they like motorsports. They like it because it is an emotional,
mm-hmm.
right.
it's visceral,
right.
all the things we're describing
right.
because
right.
it's human, it's tactile. And if you take away absolutely all of that, except a hardcore number that you got from A to B with, or the electric racing, like fake Indy,
Formula E,
which I've been to the races. I have actually been to the Formula E.
I've actually watched it.
Yeah. I mean, I've been at the actual.
I understand driving talent's driving talent and all the rest, but that is not what is enjoyable to a motorsports fan. It's the whole thing, and without it, it's empty.
Well, what it comes down to is participant driven versus a spectator driven.
Yes.
And electric racing is probably never going to be spectator driven because the visual part is gone.
When
the competition is still there, turn it around, bolt yourself in the seat, and oh my goodness, is that fun.
Right. Well, it's probably an e-ticket.
I mean, the closest I've ever gotten to anything fast and electric is an electric go-kart track.
Right.
But the first time, the first lap, you make them think, wow, this is fun because I have instant throttle response.
Sure,
I have
instant
torque. And that part,
all or nothing,
and all of a sudden it's a completely different driving technique.
Right.
Too.
Well, my orientation is, you know, when I went to the Formula E event, because I work with these guys at Green Car Journal, do some stuff for those guys, and have for a long time. They sent me down to the E race, which is on a Thursday or Friday, which means there's no. This is for Long Beach.
Long Beach.
There's literally nobody there.
Yeah.
So they run the deal and they run it in the two waves. And we talked about the ridiculousness of, you can vote for your guy and you can say, hey, you know, I want this guy to have more power.
Oh my gosh, that's
where the whole
wrong.
Racing thing goes out the window.
Yeah, and I knew of that. That is
plays
so
into
wrong.
The finishing position.
It gives the guy an extra
extra boost. Watching the movie with no sound makes it non-human relatable.
There's
nothing to excite you. Right.
There's no engagement. That's why there's a
best sound thing for the Emmys and the Oscars, right? Because sound is such a big part
of course.
Movie making, which is the whole experience.
And that is just costuming.
And I'll take a feather boa. So earlier when we were talking about it, that's in the scenario in my mind, if you go forward a whole bunch of years where anything to racing is only electrical, and you could drag out two top fuel cars and run them, I guarantee you the kids would be like, oh my God.
Yeah, sign me up.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, sign me up. Sign me up.
You know, it's not just.
So I think part of the point of this is.
I
think
who cares?
Yeah, part of the point of this is I don't think it's ever going to be either or. It's going to be both, which is fine. You know, there's a place for that, don't you think?
Unless
there's a place for electric racing.
Unless they allow the internal combustion engine, which we hear about all the time.
Yeah.
Not for now. That's another discussion point. You know, that whole thing gets into some craziness because we would just basically die. We would just roll over and that would be the end of it.
Right.
But you're right. I mean, I think that the electric thing is crazy. And the only thing I wanted to mention also is that the enthusiasm for electric cars, part of it comes from the nutso orientation towards the Tesla.
Mm-hmm.
The Tesla has been a success, biggest car company going, and it was kind of there. I see some corollaries between when the Prius became so huge, you know, whatever the VW bug was in the 60s, then it was the Prius, and now it's the Tesla. And as a car guy, there's a certain amount of pushback that I get because I used to test drive everything. Mm-hmm. I mean, for 35 years, I test drove every car.
Yeah.
In order to test drive a Tesla, you got to go and fake like you're going to go drive it. You're going to go buy one. They have no engagement. They don't want to have anything to do with
the
normal automotive media.
Right.
Except maybe, Newsweek or something that's really not an automotive title. So they're very arrogant in that regard. Mm-hmm. But they've also brought a whole group of arrogant owners who love the electric car over everything. And that's when they throw the ludicrous mode about their Tesla and how awesome it is, and why do you even bother with that?
I want to know if they paid Mel Brooks for that. I do.
Yeah.
That's from Spaceballs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Think of that. Somebody much smarter and cooler thought of that.
Let's spin this a little bit different direction now, and let's say that we are now 20 years into the future, and let's start from right now. So this is 2020. So 1920, think about what was happening in the 19-teens, 100 years ago. The anomaly, except
pandemic.
For major metropolitan areas. What's that?
Pandemic.
Pandemic. Yes. Yes. Exactly. So,
terrific.
Boom. You know,
we're right on schedule.
Right? So, so here we are. So except you're in a large metropolitan area, the predominant mode of transportation is the horse,
right?
And the occasional automobile. Some of these cities actually had to make a person walk in front of your automobile waving a red flag because it wouldn't upset the horses. So now we're going to bop 100 years forward, and the electric car is not quite as eccentric as it was even 5 years ago. So what happens 20 years or 30 years from now is my 66 Chevelle.
The normal
sitting
car,
here.
You're
going
to need somebody with a red flag.
Yeah, in other words, someone has to run in front of my. Yeah, coming yes, with exactly. belching bad exhaust out and everything that's else. Right. You know, so is that in fact? Are you then is the internal combustion engine that is not autonomous driven? Is that in fact the anomaly vehicle? And it's like it's a little scary, but at the same time, it's like well, if the self-driving cars and the electric, because we're going to mix them together here. Yeah, I mean, and there's going to be lots of opinions, and there's no right or wrong answers because nobody knows what's really going to happen.
I love that grandkids that you let have your, because I'm keeping my cars, right?
Oh, yeah, sure.
And they you teach them how to drive, and they drive it to school, and their friends are like, you actually drive it yourself?
Yes, there you go.
Well,
you,
I
like, drove here? They didn't bring you here?
Yeah, I've already thought about this. My granddaughter lives back in Iowa, but she's 7, and I've already decided, because, you know, we're going to, A, she's going to learn how to drive the muscle cars.
A stick?
Not
clink,
only one,
stick,
but she's going to drive a 4-speed. She's going to know how to drive a 4-speed.
Damn
house.
Straight.
And it's like my buddy in the Midwest with his daughter that drag races and stuff, and so I'm, you know, I'm not going to force her, obviously, if she's a girly girl, she doesn't want to do it, that's fine. Her mother was that way. But that, and that's okay. That's fine. It's no problem. But if is all interested, it's like, dude, you know, grandpa will sell his soul to let you go race if that's what you want to do. But I want my granddaughter to be the one in junior high.
That's
where
great.
Some kid says something about his dad's car and says, well, whip it out here. Let's go. I'll show you how to drive it. Because you don't know how to drive it. I do.
You know, joking aside, that's going to be scary.
That's the t-shirt. I have the crazy grandpa. You know, that's the t-shirt that I want.
You do already have that, don't you?
Yeah, no, I actually do.
I made that up, but I'm thinking about it. And that's funny but scary that there would potentially even be that you actually drove it here.
Yeah.
The car didn't just drive you here. You know how to, like, do it yourself.
Well, and the current.
Let's say there's some truth to that. Isn't that a frightening place for society?
It is. And also the learning curve between when some folks are driving and some folks aren't, which we're already getting into. I'm going to blow your minds. 2 years ago, I went to the CES show. The CES show is next week.
Yeah, Consumer Electronics
Show. That is virtual.
Virtual.
All virtual. 2 years ago, I went to the Nissan booth. Technology, B2V.
Yeah.
What?
Brain to vehicle.
So you
put on it? No, you put on this helmet.
Oh no!
And it drives. No. It was a little bit creepy, and I'm not so sure.
A little bit creepy.
I'm not so sure.
B2B
technology. There you go.
Then my car goes right to the porn store. I mean, it goes right somewhere that it shouldn't go to.
Wow! No, really?
That's
yes.
Horrible.
2 years ago.
And so it's like so you can virtually drive the car.
You can virtually drive the car.
Yeah,
it was more of a. It supposedly reads brainwaves.
Read your mind.
Brainwaves.
It reads your mind.
And our.
Uh-oh. We just had technical failure.
There's nothing going on, folks. Nothing.
Ignore that man behind the curtain.
That's exactly. Brain to vehicle. How do you like that?
Brain. That sounds like that is just going to be loaded with problems. Somebody just sees a squirrel.
Yeah.
And, well, no, I can argue why that's a bad idea.
It's a bad idea.
A third of all the accidents at ski resorts.
Yeah.
They look at a tree.
There's
one tree in the field the size of a small town, and they go right over
that's
to it.
Sure.
Let alone
and
if they're drinking.
That's right. Sonny Bono.
They go right into the cop car.
That's the first thing they teach you in driving school is
where you look.
Where you look is where you're going.
That's right.
So, like, when you talk to people who crash and they say, so where you look, look at the tree, right? It's like, well, that's what you're.
That's right.
So, so the point is, don't look where you want to go.
Yes,
where you
right, exactly.
Go.
Right. I mean,
that's
there,
what I'm saying.
There's your driving technique tip for the
that
day.
That brain to vehicle is going to.
That's scary. That's really.
That's for
scary.
Real.
Imagine a whole bunch
so,
of high
so
school
you
teenagers.
Put you put the
helmet
little,
on.
You put the little skull cap on.
I did, and it was you know it's vague. I'll be honest with you. First, you know, I get into these some of these you know virtual systems that they put on, you know, and. You know, like I watched, like Oculus from Facebook makes something called the Oculus, and you put this thing on, and it's a whole goggle thing. And actually, it was pretty awesome. The last one I tried was very good.
Military pilots have had it for years,
and it's very cool. But this one that we did with Nissan in the booth at CES, it kind of made me sick.
Wow.
You know, another old man thing, you know.
Yeah.
But
that
bottom line,
virtual stuff. It's like you're right. You don't need to climb Mount Everest. You can just fake it.
That's right.
Which
that's
is
a
fine.
Whole other topic to bring up. Is the new
I hate
the kids
the chill.
That can write in a simulator
yes.
and like can beat Senna's
time
on a truck.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
your ass couldn't even get in thousand horsepower manually shifted death machine, let alone being terrified because you're around another 14 of them, and you're all going to, you don't have that fear. All you got to do is go, reset.
Yes.
Yeah.
When I flew biff it into a wall, you.
Well, that's the 47 simulator at LAX. The guys at Flying Tigers.
Isn't even close to reality in a race car. You die every 15 seconds. I'm sorry.
Reel him in.
So one of the things I like to do is always assemble an engine with ARP bolts, and it's not just because they're sponsors, but because it really does work. And the stuff is fantastic. I never have to worry about it. Steve, you building cars too.
Yeah, actually, it's part of my baseline design plan when I'm building a car that's going to be shown or featured in a magazine. It's part of the plan to have that little bit of diamonds all over the engine bay or in the suspension.
Yeah,
the stuff is beautiful. I remember a long time ago, I built the first time I ever touched it, 69 Z28, all of the water jacket holes had stripped out, and I learned about ARP studs.
So check them out at arp-bolts.com or check out their catalog. You'll find everything you're looking for.
But the Flying Tigers guys, and this is years ago, had a simulator, 747 simulator, and I flew it a couple times.
And it actually was
very, very similar. But they actually certified guys to move planes at LAX by that simulator.
By the simulator.
So you could move people. I mean, you weren't flying them.
Right.
But you
were
driving them around and taxiing them around.
Sure.
So there's some reality to, and I couldn't tell the difference.
Did I tell you I did a simulator with the Air Force?
You did the fighter, right?
I did the real F-16 flight, which is a whole other thing we could talk about. Mm-hmm. I have video of it, so we could talk about it.
He has proof. He was there.
Pulled 9 Gs in an F-16. Yeah.
You were a passenger.
You said G's 9 times?
9 G's. 9 G's. It was, and we did it twice because the first time we didn't make it. But
we
also did the simulator, and they stick you in a real F-16.
The cockpit.
And the hydraulics didn't work at this time.
Yeah.
But you're inside this cocoon, and it was just a whole series of
a box.
It was I don't know, 27 TV screens, and everywhere that you could see out of the cockpit was a virtual representation of what was going on. So I'm flying with another guy in the other simulator, and we were going to go at it a little bit later. But I said, "Can I do something?" I said, "Just don't crash." I said, "No." And I did.
Just don't crash.
Yeah, don't crash into him because then we have to reset it. Exactly. What inverted?
Just like the
Top Gun thing, you know, and looking down actually this way and looking at the other guy, and it was so cool.
Yeah.
But what one of the things that happens is your inner, because hydraulically it's not moving, this one didn't, because the hydraulics were down for some reason, was that he said, the orientation pilot that sent me through this thing said, now what you're probably going to feel is a spatial disorientation, because your inner ear is telling you you're not inverted.
Right.
You're
what happened to JFK Jr., didn't it?
And, yeah, I think so. Well, that's a whole other thing, but you just don't believe your instruments.
And yes, correct.
I think that's what happened.
That's what happened.
But because when your inner ear is telling you you're flying
second gunner in the grassy knoll
this way, when in fact you're actually level, but you're pulling this way because you think that's what's happening, and that's bad.
Yeah.
But I actually almost got sick. Because your ear is going, wait a minute.
It's crazy.
Well, this is crazy stuff.
That virtual stuff can go crazy. But to get back to the electrical stuff, I mean, I think what you're talking about, you know, 20 years down the road, when they electrify my walker, it'll be all set.
Well, by that time, we'll have like 140 mile an hour electric chairs, right?
Slow.
That'd be fine.
Yeah, long wheelbase electric car.
And then it's got like a cattle prod that gets me back in the.
Yeah.
It's got two joy buzzers stuck in the hands. Go to the right, go to the left.
That's right. It's got the special tennis balls.
There are no answers. I got a kick out of somebody, some podcast somewhere or some deal did a presentation of what was going to happen in literally by like 2030, or actually 2035, 20 years from now, 2040, that the internal combustion market will be dead. There will be no more internal combustion cars. And all this stuff, and I'm thinking,
which I think has some
merit in a large metropolitan area like this.
Yeah.
But in a small town in Iowa, you know, you're still going to have a gasoline powered truck and diesel and stuff because right now
guaranteed
trucks have no endurance.
Guaranteed.
No endurance for long distance. You know, lots of power, but imagine a combine, because I'm originally from Iowa. Imagine a combine, electric combine, trying to do that.
Yeah, no, happen. I agree with you.
You don't have power density. You don't have the density.
Certain towns are doing that already. Like, you know, London, you know, there's certain days there's nothing but electric vehicles. They don't allow, they don't allow any. Oh, yeah.
They're large metropolitan areas. And if there are people in New York City who don't own license or driver's license, there's no reason to have a driver's license.
Which is why they're in charge of the magazine.
That's right. You know, because they know.
All the business sense about that.
I need to buy my own island and put a racetrack on it.
Right.
Fuck it.
Can I come over?
Yes.
Okay.
Well,
so
maybe.
it's an interesting concept. You know, I mean, I think there are certain advantages. I mean, you know, I think it would be fun to, you know, Garlitz was trying to do 200 miles an hour electric dragster. I think somebody else has now set that record.
Right.
I think 200 miles an hour. Okay. I'm sure that's a. That's a ride.
Oh,
I'll bet
no
it's
doubt.
A lot of fun because that's
no
probably
doubt.
A you know
no
a
doubt.
6 second ride, something like that.
Oh, you bet.
And the initial hit's going to be
right
fantastic.
Yes.
You know, because you have instantaneous torque. That was one of the interesting things the guy told me that in this building the Camaro, he said the closer they made the drivetrain to a gasoline powered car, the quicker the car went.
Mm-hmm.
So the electric motor guys will tell you you don't need a transmission. You've got enough. If you've got two big electric motors, you've got 1,000 foot pounds of torque. Mm-hmm. You don't need a transmission.
Right.
Well, it turned out that he didn't have quite that much power, but it was so violent, the launch was so difficult to manage that putting a torque converter in it and putting a transmission in it calmed it down.
The same, like the radical end of a top fuel car, they have it. Loading
they have
up
a stage.
In the clutch
they're slipping the clutch for the first.
Otherwise, they just blow the tire and
right,
the rear axle out of
right,
the
exactly.
car.
Exactly. It was the same thing there. You can't manage it. So he actually turned the car more into a gasoline-powered car, the equivalent of a gasoline-powered car. So the only thing that was different was the power plant.
Yep.
And he said the closer they would get in terms of torque converters and transmission gear ratios and tire sizes and everything else, the closer they got it back to what they knew, the quicker the car went and the more consistent it was.
So
it was really interesting.
Small block looking electric package you were talking about that can bolt up to a GM Bell housing.
Yeah, like a turbo.
Can you do one of those with a stick and a clutch if you bolted it up to a four speed?
I don't know. The only ones I've seen are with an automatic.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah. I don't know why you couldn't.
Yeah.
But it would probably, it might be slightly difficult.
Sure
I don't know.
I'm not sure the clutch would contain it. Yeah, I'm not sure a clutch would contain
it. If you'd get off the throttle, you'd have to
do it. Essentially, your throttle is a rheostat, so you're going
to
only give it 3% power. You slip the clutch out and accelerate.
Yeah.
And, you know, I don't see why it couldn't.
Yeah.
You know, I'm sure you could. Hmm. Yeah. Which would be, but it would probably, you'd have to drive it differently.
So then
your throttle would not be a pure linear scale. It would be more very gradual, and then towards the end, it would be like that.
Right.
So that way,
program for the
exactly
the
to make it easier to drive. Sure.
Well, the electric motors are pretty interesting. I mean, this is not anywhere near Top Fuel, so I'm not comparing this. But I got invited to a Chevrolet deal over at one of the horse race tracks where they had a Chevy Bolt.
Mm-hmm.
And they had a GTI, VW GTI, which is a pretty hot little, you know,
hot hatch.
And the Bolt was faster.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
Through the slalom, which was interesting because they were also comparing tires. They had summer tires and four-season tires.
Right.
And that actually made quite a bit of difference in the electric vehicle. But bottom line was, the Bolt was faster than the GTI.
But the other side of it is,
of course, setting up the course so that it favors the electric vehicle.
Of course.
That's a big deal. It makes a huge difference.
When we were autocross racing, when we run that 82 Camaro with my buddy Dan Livesey, and you could always tell who set the autocross course up by the car that they owned. If they had a Honda Civic, a tight, small little car, or a little Sprite or something like that, it was a tight, twisty little course.
Right.
If it was a Camaro owner or a Corvette owner or something like that, it was a big, wide, sweeping course where you could use the horsepower. And those cars were always faster because it played to their strengths.
Of course.
So, that's one of the things when you see comparisons like that. Well, how is the course set up? You know, and that makes a big difference.
It makes a big difference, and that's all part of it. But, you know, my experience with the electric cars has been good. I mean, I see it and I understand it.
Yeah.
But in terms of an enthusiast and a guy who likes to drive, it's not where I'm at at all.
Yeah, yeah.
In any way, shape, or form.
Well, but also we have to just – to position ourselves, three old guys, right?
Yeah,
It's like, so it would be interesting.
Two very old
guys. One medium.
aged slightly so graying long hair.
The perspective would be, you know, to get young person's perspective on it. But like if you're already a gearhead, likely they're not. Right. They're going to say the same thing.
Yeah, you know what though? But I still lean back to that fantasy idea of, you know, 20 years in the future, I take two top fuel cars and they go, wow. If you've got a bunch of kids who are in the future and they're used to driving a electric vehicle that's performance, because Porsche's already doing, you know, they did that new turbo, which made no sense at all. They put a turbo in the name of an all electric vehicle.
Right.
Really?
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
I guess because it's like turbo a Panamera, equates it's like a to Ford. Horsepower.
I don't know why they called it turbo, but it's really dumb. By the way, I'll Ford, look at Porsche in the face. Like Ford, that was dumb.
Yeah, Ford calling that new vehicle a Mustang. That's not a Mustang.
They should have called it ugly. I mean, an abortion. Yeah. I mean,
that, it's a good-looking vehicle.
Effing thing. Oh, yeah. That's a.
I feel like Randy
I love it so much.
good-looking vehicle, ain't it?
Per example, so you have kids used to driving these super-fast, well-tuned-in electric cars. But you put them in something like, and I mean this, like a, and say they're kids who, or guys who are racing these vehicles on the weekends, okay? So they're into performance, they know how to set up its suspensions at least, you know, they understand it. And you stick them in something that really is a pure driver's car, like a 289 Cobra or an early Porsche. That is, and there is feedback, and you learn how to heel toe, and you get that out of it. Yeah. I'm sorry. But as a human being, if you are a human being and you're a racer, you're going to, and you learn to drive one of those if you hadn't, and you come out of it, and there's no way you can't say, I am more connected to this piece of machinery than I am that one because everything I do has this thing reacts back to me
is not being interpreted by a computer.
It is completely my doing, and everything I do right, I'm gained for, and everything I do wrong, I get slapped for. The car will spin,
And that's the level of the new cars now, where they filter so much of the information that you're generating.
The point being is
you take all those controls off.
You can't take it away because you're still a human.
Yeah.
Those kids I'm talking about in the future, they're still human, and if you give them this tactile piece of machinery, they're going to feel more connected to it. You have to by default, just because of what inputs you have to do now, let alone they'll have the visceral and all that. So I just, it's such a it seems like such a shame that they may not have that experience. Cause like the best thing you do, if you like sports cars, just go drive a little early Porsche 356 Spyder. Don't get a new 911 Turbo. Don't get a new Ferrari. Go drive that on the 2 early in the morning, and you learn how that slip and slides. And there's nothing but pure feedback, or get yourself a Lotus, pure feedback in the steering and pure feedback on your throttle. And if you know how to drive stick and heel toe, and it's so rewarding, and that and you are so connected to everything because there's nothing else besides the wheel, the throttle,
and
the tires.
You probably do something on heel and toe.
That's
right.
Trailing throttle oversteer. Was that what they call it?
Yes. Porsche. Yes.
It's also polar. Fuck. Right. But,
it's like, I need a bigger rear tire and a full tank of gas.
Yeah.
Or gonna die.
Whoa, man, I didn't die that time.
Almost lost my cool there.
That's right. So,
I can't imagine that not being a part of the motorsports experience. And what a bummer. And yes, it's great that they're going to be super fast and super throttle response, and they are going to like the Formula E and all that stuff. They still have to focus on aerodynamics, on suspension dynamics, on tire dynamics.
Cars are very sophisticated.
There's all of that without question. You're still going to have to know how to drive the vehicle, but man, just what a shame that they're not going to have that screaming 13,000 RPM motor behind their head. That reminds you, you're going to die quickly if this goes wrong.
That's right. Okay.
So this has been great.
Yeah.
It's been a lot of fun.
It is.
What did we learn?
Absolutely.
It went a lot. Quickly.
Did we learn anything?
Our first podcast, our first shot at doing this thing. I think it's been a lot of fun. And
very much.
I apologize for us talking. Talking over each other, that annoys me when I hear it on TV. So try not to do that in the future. But
it means we're
fun.
Engaged.
That's right.
See, I just talked over.
That's right.
Yeah, and I know he's not going to be offended if I talk over the top of him.
No, What?
All right. So we're doing a great job here. We're gonna try and do this again in the near future, and stick with us.